Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house as we're privileged to offer worship and praise to God this morning. We do want to encourage everyone to please sign the registration sheet and to pass that on to your neighbors. And a word of genuine thanks to Ron and Teresa Wolf and their friend Kenny Schultz for the fine work done in rebuilding the deck on the southeast foyer entry to our sanctuary here. Ron and Teresa, we are so grateful for your help with that. Thank you. In the bulletin, please take note of the announcement page that lists the upcoming meetings and activities in our fellowship. And there also is some acolyte training that will take place in the next couple of Sundays, and of course, Christian Women's Fellowship meetings. And as always, your generosity for the church's food pantry is always appreciated. Please also take note of the announcement in the bulletin concerning the sharing box now located in the foyer. And also in the backside of the announcement page and the flyer, there is information about how to fill out that flyer for the next group of dinner groups. The deadline for everyone who has an interest in being a part of those for this next quarter will be this next Sunday, the 20th of August. I think these are all the announcements we need to lift up. And Ryan, we welcome you to have our call to worship.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Sing a new song to the Lord. Praise him in the assembly of his faithful people.
Be glad, Israel, because of your Creator.
Rejoice, people of Zion, because of your King.
Praise the Lord. We'll now sing hymn number 323, all stanzas of Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
May we pray. Holy and gracious God, your word in Psalm 150, verse 6, tells us that indeed we are to let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thus, with every breath that we take, may we always strive to offer you words and songs of praise, as we also express thanksgiving for the privilege to worship you this Lord's Day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. Okay, none of our younger children are here this morning, so we'll proceed with the prayer chain here and our pastoral prayer. Certainly, our sympathies extended to Paula Pratt. Paula, we're delighted you're here with us this morning, and certainly we lift up prayers for you and your daughter and son-in-law, Tracy, and Mark, and grandson, Jackson, and certainly everyone else in your family with the passing of your husband, Tony, as we had his service this last week. Also, our sympathy is extended to Dean and Dodie Gwynn, as Dean's mother, Alice Maxine Gwynn, passed into the Lord's presence on the 2nd of August. Services were also held this past week. We want to keep in prayer Edna Williams, as I now understand this morning that she is at Ignite, so just to the west of us here. Let's keep Edna in our prayers. Also, Ed and Shirley Keel have both been in various facilities. Ed was at the Johnson County Rehabilitation. Shirley was over here at St. Luke's on Berry Road. Both of them made it home as of yesterday. So I'm going to be a long journey of recovery, but please keep them in prayer. Bob Settles has also been at the St. Luke's Rehabilitation in Smithville, but looking to possibly move to another care facility in the near future. We also keep in prayer Kathy Archer and Lauren Kirby, Susan Hanks, Jerry and Betty Donahue, Alice Estes, and certainly among family members, we certainly have kept in our prayers Sam Bartley's son, Johnny Sturwalt, Perla Mora's niece, Michelle, Alana Witten's granddaughter, Samantha, and her daughter, Beth, and of course, Luella Scott's niece, Michelle. So, with all of these people upon our hearts, let us bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and loving God, we pray that the meditations of our hearts and our songs of praise may be pleasing to you, as we are privileged to offer you praise this Lord's Day morning. As we contemplate the events of this past week, we realize that many of our fellow citizens have experienced incomprehensible tragedy. We pray for the family members and friends of fellow officers in Fairway, Kansas, as the community mourns the loss of Officer Jonah Oswald. We pray for dear loved ones who mourn the loss of So many people now from the devastating fires on the island of Maui, Hawaii, as it is now recognized that the loss of individuals is the greatest in over a century in this country. We pray for the thousands displaced from their homes and businesses, as it now appears that the rebuilding effort will cost more than $5.5 billion. We pray also for the millions who continue to endure the unrelenting heat and profound devastation to crops, grasslands, and livestock production throughout so much of the southwestern states. We pray for the millions whose livelihoods have been displaced by the unrelenting heat and drought that is affecting not only many here in our country, but also in many parts of northern Ontario, the prairie provinces of Canada, central and southern South America, Central Africa, Central Asia, Southern China, and also Central and Southern Europe. Whatever may be the challenges we face in this earthly realm, O God, we seek your Spirit's guidance and strength. For Isaiah 61 reminds us in the third verse that it is always your desire to fill us with joy and gladness instead of grief, and to give us a song of praise instead of sorrow. We seek your great comfort, O God, as we recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life I fall, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day precious Lord, lead.
And Ryan, I apologize. I failed to remember your mother, Lori, in the midst of her recovery, and your father, Chris, with the concerns they're experiencing. But we keep all of you in prayer, Ryan. Bless you. One thing I was reminded of last weekend when we were worshiping with our son and his family in the Catholic Church that they attend in Minnesota, I'd have a difficult time being Catholic. Mostly because my dear old back can hardly tolerate the pressure and pain of having my knees on those kneelers for extended periods of time. Yet, even though the discipline may be rather painful for many of us, being on our knees is meant to be an expression of humility. Each stanza of this morning's communion hymn calls us to be on our knees in profound humility before God. We are to break bread together, drink wine together, and praise God together on our knees, as we exclaim to God in the refrain, "When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, O Lord, have mercy on me." So, even though we don't literally go down on our knees in our worship services, may each of us truly humble ourselves before God as we are indeed grateful for the sacrifice our Lord Jesus made for us, that we may be blessed with the gift of life eternal. Our communion hymn this morning is number 425. Let us break bread together as we sing all stanzas, please.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall
gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Dave leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table, we remember the sacrifice your Son made for the forgiveness of our sins. Bless this bread representing his broken body and this cup representing his spilled blood. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24 tell us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord and not for man. Remember that the Lord will give you as a reward what he has kept for his people. For Christ is the real master that we serve. With these thoughts in mind, we receive our offering as Ruth Ann first leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the gifts of our needs each day. Your word says that we should honor you with the first fruits of our wealth. Accept our tithes and offerings as a gift of worship to you. Multiply what we give for the effective growth of your kingdom. May Christ dwell in our hearts through faith so that we can be rooted and grounded in love. May have the strength to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. May we be filled with the fullness of God. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 14. And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, of course he's talking about Jesus Christ our Lord, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. May we pray. Gracious and holy God, we indeed are so grateful for the truth that your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, indeed persevered through all the challenges he faced here on earth so that we may be blessed with the gift of life eternal as he became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sin. May his example inspire us So also set aside the excuses and persevere with the endeavors that you have set before us. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, you know, I really expected it to be kind of really hot and humid today. So with the rain today is kind of tempering things a bit, you know, so it doesn't kind of give my message the kind of punch I was hoping for here, you know. But I am incredibly mindful that there are a lot of parts of this country that are in extreme drought, and many places that I've lived in for many, many years of my life. I just have, my heart just goes out to people I know and what they're dealing with. But I start the message with the idea that, you know, here we are in August, what we call these dog days of summer, when it just becomes so hot and sweltery humid. It gives us the excuse to go into what you could call a summer hibernation. As we go into the comfort of our air-conditioned living rooms and we just are inclined to park ourselves there, we find it easy to forget about or at least to ignore the chores that need to be done outside. You know, even folks who are fierce planters of flowers in the spring season, By the time you get to this time of year, a lot of those flowers get forgotten. Who wants to drag those old garden hoses here, hither, thither, and yon? And who wants to take care of all that? And by the way, maybe it's just time to let that grass grow just a little bit longer, you know. Time to let the vehicles get a little bit dirtier. Time to just kind of sit inside and stop. Truth be told, even regardless of the weather, there can often be too many occasions in which we may find it rather easy to avoid the challenge, whatever it is, rather than to maintain those important disciplines or responsibilities in life. It's easy to let the bills pile up rather than to sit down and pay them in a timely manner. It's rather easy to sit and watch one more television show rather than to wash, fold, and put away the laundry. After one or more skips, it becomes all too easy to fail in the discipline of our exercise program, even though we promised the physical therapist that, yes, we were going to keep that routine once we were let go. You know, as a pastor, I cannot tell you how many times I've seen people who made incredible progress in rehabilitation, only to go home and go back to their old routine and lose everything they gained physically. I have seen that time and again. Because why? It is so easy just to fall back into what appears easy. And even as schools are beginning once again, it's all too easy to explain the way reasons why homework hasn't been finished. Or it's all too easy for that college freshman to sleep in a little bit longer, to miss a class, maybe two, maybe three, until it becomes difficult to what? Complete the course. Or maybe even complete that, even that freshman year. In fact, you know the percentage of American young people who actually fail to complete college is significant. It is a big percentage of folks who start college and never finish. All such failures remind us that perseverance often really is the key ingredient to one's genuine success, whether it be in this earthly realm or whether it even indeed is in the spiritual realm. One person who knows this well is a woman named Peggy. You probably don't know her name, but she is the one American who has logged more time in space than any other. Her name is Dr. Peggy Whitson. She has made history by actually logging 675 days in space. That's 1.84 years outside this planet. And this past May, at the age of 63, the former NASA astronaut also made history as the first woman to command a private space mission with Axiom on the 10-day mission that they just finished. But this is only one of many firsts that this astronaut has achieved in her career. Dr. Whitson was also the first female commander of the International Space Station, the first female chief of NASA's astronaut office, the first International Space Station science officer, and also the first woman to complete 10 walks in space. What may surprise you, however, is to find out that she didn't actually make her first journey into space until she was already 42 years of age. You know, the other day, Jonathan and I were at the Air and Space Museum there, between Lincoln, Nebraska and Omaha. I was walking out. Here comes in this colonel with his family in tow. He was wearing a flight suit, so I know what that is, and I know what the rank is. And what struck me as he was walking up with all these young kids, you know, this high, all his children were this high, was I thought, my gosh, he looks so young. You know, our mind changes as time goes on. But then I thought, oh yes, I forget. You know, most folks in military service, they start in their late teens, early 20s. And so when they finish, they're how old? Usually less than 40 or 45. You're an old guy if you're 50 and still in the service. Old guy. One time I was jogging around the track with some of the cadets in the Civil Air Patrol, and one of the young airmen who was 19 years of age, he was standing there with some other young airmen, and here I am. I'm the one running around the track with this cadet trying to encourage him to pick up his speed because he needed to run at a certain time. But the wind was in just such a way that I could catch their words, you know, as I was coming up that way on the track. And the airman said to the other, you know what? Chaplain Patience isn't doing half bad for an old guy. As I passed him up, I said, yeah, but I'm the one running. But imagine here we have this woman who happens to be 42 years of age when she begins to be an astronaut. How many of us in our 40s say, we're done, right? I see you shaking your heads. What may surprise you, however, is to find out that she didn't actually make her first journey at 42 years of age, didn't do this four decades situation, because, you know, she just hadn't been dreaming about it. It says that Dr. Whitson didn't start her astronaut career until the age of 42 because she actually had been rejected by NASA for the astronaut program four different times. And she was not accepted until that fifth occasion. After she earned her PhD in biochemistry, she applied to NASA's astronaut training program. And again, those rejections after the PhD took place over the course of 9 years. How many of us would have said, well, that's it. First time, first rejection, I'm done. Second rejection, I'm done. Four? To go even to try a fifth time. How many of us would do that? You see, perseverance really counts for a lot. And yet, looking back at that experience, she wrote in a statement here back this March of this year, she said, I never let rejection hold me back. Instead, I used the time to explore opportunities, to strengthen my skills and to grow. And in fact, it paid off, did it not? So Dr. Peggy Whitten's lifetime pursuit of space travel is but one concrete and present-day example of how one's genuine perseverance can truly lead to what? Significant achievement in one's life. That's something for us to be mindful of. that's something to encourage us. There are so many situations that we perceive as obstacles in our lives, and we just stop. I cannot tell you how many times I've walked into the homes of some of members of my church, folks that are getting up in years, and I walk in and their house is like a dark tomb. Curtains drawn, everything all closed up, and nothing going on. It's like you just want to go in there and say, open up this place. Let's get you moving. Because God's not finished with you yet. Yet, as people of faith, all of us know that these earthly pursuits certainly are temporal and their importance fades with the passage of time. Just like the winning score from the previous year's ball game also fades and is often not remembered with the passage of time. But when you and I think about things of the eternal significance, isn't it wonderful to realize that our Lord Jesus, He persevered in His efforts to achieve God's will, to become that final sacrificial lamb so that you and I could be redeemed from sin. John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And in verse 40, the text continues, for what my Father wants is that all who see the Son and believe in Him should have eternal life and will raise them up on the last day. That is our great hope, is it not? But what we must do is have thanks to God that Jesus persevered. He didn't run away from His ministry when Satan tempted Him in the desert. Thanks be to God that Jesus persevered and didn't cower away when His neighbors in Nazareth became angry with Him for claiming to be the Messiah. Thanks be to God that Jesus persevered when the Pharisees questioned His healing of the man at the pool of Bethsaida and many other locations. Thanks be to God Jesus persevered every time Jewish officials accused Him of blasphemy and called Him a false prophet. Thanks be to God that Jesus persevered when Judas and the Jewish guard came to the Garden of Gethsemane and arrested Him. Thanks be to God that our Lord Jesus persevered even as He endured the horrendous suffering and pain of the cross, as He truly became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sin. And because Jesus persevered through all that God planned, our text in Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that Jesus our Lord offered for all time one sacrifice for sins. And then He sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, He waits for His enemies to be His footstool. For by one sacrifice, He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And you know, concerning our own personal faith in God, isn't it really important for us to truly persevere in our desire to be faithful to God's calling and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, rather than to be lured away by so many worldly distractions that can easily keep us so very far from God. As Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks upon the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the sign outside simply has the word, persevere. Even as the Apostle Paul tells us in that text on the sign, Philippians chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. In other words, to take hold of, you know, even salvation itself. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Christ Jesus. So, yeah, rain aside today, we are in the dog days of summer, aren't we? It can be so easy just to quit. But let us not. And especially in matters of the faith, let us persevere, as did our Lord Jesus, as we claim the gift of salvation in Christ. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I welcome you to come forward this morning. Or if you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here, I welcome you to become a part of Berry Christian Church's membership. We turn to our hymn of invitation, My Hope is Built. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, hymn number 537.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
It's been a joy for Carrie and I to be back in fellowship with you, and we wish each of you the very best as you journey forward with the new week. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to be about your will and purposes. Your Holy Spirit empowers us to persevere, that we may strive to bring glory to your kingdom here on earth in all we do and say. For this privilege, we give thanks as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
God, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing triumph in redeeming grace. O refresh us, O us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound, ever faithful and